Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
This is James, and I'm an interview here with Jonathan Howell. Sitting here, we're talking with him about some podcasts he's a part of, and then most importantly, what I want to discuss is kind of his experience in ministry and how he allows God to use him. Jonathan, if you would, just take an opportunity to just introduce yourself real quick.
Well, James, good to be on the podcast here. Glad to be a part of the Everyday Ministry Podcast. I serve at Lifeway Christian Resources here in Nashville, Tennessee. I work in the headquarters here in Nashville, and I work for Dr. Rainer and help run his blog and website at tomrainer.com, as well as a host of other things. Also deal with the denominational relations for Lifeway and kind of our relationship with other entities and state conventions and even local churches throughout the denomination. So it's a fun job. I get to come here and be a part of what's going on in churches around the world, and also, you know, here in the Nashville area through my own life. And I have a wife and four kids, three boys and a girl. So we have our hands full at home, and I got a hands full here at work.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, as we get into the podcast, the same question I ask everybody that comes on here is, how would you define an everyday minister?
An everyday minister is really an everyday Christian. I mean, we're all called to missions. We're all called to ministry, whether that be in a full-time vocational role, a co-vocational role, or just in a lay role. We're all called to be ministers. You know, we go to Ephesians 4 and to equip the saints for ministry. We're all the saints. If you're part of a church, you're part of the body of Christ, you're a minister.
That's kind of the answer we came up with when we started the podcast, as well as pretty much.
Okay, so I got it right. I got it right then, huh?
That's right. Well, we've had a variety of ways people answer it, but ultimately everybody's a minister. And a lot of times we think of the minister as the pastor or worship pastor, children's pastor or whatever, but it's everybody. So that's one of our goals. The goal we have here is to provide resources and just a conversation for people that's in ministry and just a part of the church overall. And you have a way that you do that. You're a part of three podcasts. So I imagine you probably get tired of being on a podcast every now and then, but
not really. Actually, today was a kind of a recording day here at Lifeway. And this is my fifth podcast I'll be recording today. So it's been a busy day.
Yeah. I'd want to go home and not talk to anybody.
I'm getting close. Let me tell you, I'm getting really close to that point. So the voice is wearing out. I'm on about my fourth LaCroix today. So
the voice, that's what Tom Rainer refers to you all the time.
Yes.
Well, if you could, let's just go through the three that you're a part of, and you can just tell us what you want to tell us about each of them. We'll start with Rainer on Leadership.
Yeah, I've been really surprised and pleased, not just, you know, in a bad way surprised, but just in a great way surprised to see the response of Rainer on Leadership over the last 4.5 years. We're about 370 episodes into it now, and it just blows my mind. The reach that has and the impact that it's had on the local church in a good way. I mean, it's just staggering to think that there are guys and gals around the country and around the world, really, who are listening to that and how it's impacting their local ministry within the church, their everyday ministry. And it's been a blessing. We travel, we meet people. Every time I travel with Dr. Rainer, most of the time, 90% of the time, I guess, and whenever he goes out and speak, everybody wants to talk about the podcast. And that's been a real blessing. We got into it kind of on the early end before the podcast boom of 2014, 2015. We started in 2013 and really, you know, been plugging away at it for the last 4.5 years. And it's just been amazing to watch how it's grown, watch the numbers. Yesterday, the day we're recording this, the day before, we had our second biggest day ever at Rainer on Leadership. And just last week was the biggest day ever. So it's just continued to rise over the past 4.5 years, and we're just amazed and encouraged by it. And hopefully, you know, we feel like it's been a blessing to the local church, helping churches become healthier and leaders become better leaders. So that's just been the amazing part of it.
Well, for me, it was actually one of the first podcasts I listened to.
Awesome.
And I think I've listened to almost all of them, if not all of them.
So have I.
I bet you have. You probably edit, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I listen to them twice at least, and sometimes three times, because sometimes I listen to the final product. So I hear it whenever we record it, when I edit it, and whenever it's final.
That's what I got to get better at, is listening to the final edit before I release them. I'm not good at
that. I didn't say I listened to it before I released it now. I just make sure it, whenever it goes up, it's the right stuff out there, because I've had an issue here or there.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do that.
Yep.
All right. Well, the next one that you're a part of is SBC This Week. Tell us about it. It hasn't been going too long, has it?
Oh, it's been 2.5 years, actually. We're really? 120 120 episodes into SBC This Week, 125 episodes. So, I mean, I've been amazed again by the response to that, because when we first started this thing, it was just kind of a side, you know, effort and just kind of a fun thing that we thought we'd do, Amy and I. Amy Whitfield, who's the director of communications, a good friend of mine for the last 6 or 7 years. She's the director of communications at Southeastern Seminary over in North Carolina. And we've been having these conversations. I was telling you this before we hit record, but we just basically took the conversations that we'd been having for the last few years and just started recording them. And that's really what SBC This Week is. And we've come up with a few, you know, gags and some different things that we do. And we have a lot of fun. It's of the three podcasts that I do, this is the one that I kind of get to let my hair down a little bit with, even though I'm bald. But, you know, it's the one I get to have a little bit of fun with, and it's a little bit more off the cuff, and we have fun with that. It's a lot less scripted even than Rainer on Leadership and Revitalize and Replant. I mean, it's just me and Amy getting to have fun and talking about SBC things and making jokes and things like that. So, but at the same time, we're helping educate people about what's going on in the SBC and how the SBC works. So not just what's happening, but how it's happening and how it works and how people can be involved. And we've seen some benefits of that. We've seen people that, you know, just didn't really engage in the SBC be able to, through the podcast, and learn more about how things work, especially around annual meeting time. That's when we see our biggest numbers. And whenever big news breaks, they kind of, it's weird how people have kind of started looking to us for what does this mean when this happens in the SBC? So that's been an odd thing to happen, but it's been good. We've enjoyed it, and we appreciate the trust that the listeners have put in us to steward news in the SBC.
I've really enjoyed it. I guess I'm coming to the game of listening to that one late, because I've only been listening to about 3-4 months now. But well, I wanted to talk to you about that one a little more detailed than the other two. Really, yeah. Since doing that, I know you said this is conversation you've had before, then y'all decided to start recording. What are some encouraging things you see going on in the SBC right now?
There's a lot going that I would say I'm encouraged about. Some of the direction that we've seen in some entities, some state conventions over the past few years, in particular, I'll just mention a couple, but Midwestern, how when Dr. Allen took over there 5 years ago, and this is before we started the podcast, but he started there 5 years ago. That school was, I won't say it was on the verge of being shut down, but that was the conversation that was happening in the SBC. Is do we need another seminary in Kansas City? And Dr. Allen has unequivocally made the case that the answer to that question is an absolute yes. And what they've done up at Midwestern has just been beyond incredible. The same thing goes for Southern Seminary. And not that it was ever in doubt of going anywhere, but to see the rise at Boyce College, at the Graham School, over the past few years under the leadership of Matt Hall and Dr. Adam Greenway and those before them, it's just amazing to see. And to be able to tell those stories about how we are seeing just this tremendous growth. Everybody wants to kind of put down the SBC. You know, we look at the numbers every year from the ACP and how things are down. Church members, you know, attendance is down, membership is down. Churches usually are up, but they want to talk about all these negative, but you got these shining stars in some of these state conventions and national entities. And I'm really encouraged about some of the developments that we've seen over the past year. As well, in just different areas of state convention life. I'm really excited about college ministry and what the H2O group up in Columbus, Ohio, that the college ministry group and the Salt Company and the Resonate out in Washington. There's so many good things. And to be able to tell those stories every week, that's really the exciting thing about SBC This Week.
I guess it's from the outside looking in. I'm part of SBC. I'm in a Southern Baptist church. But a lot of times, people tend to focus on all the negative or what they disagree on at times. And so I've been encouraged when I started listening to y'all's podcast of all of the positive going on. And then I also enjoy the last part of the podcast that you do that Amy does.
Everybody loves her part the most.
Well, it's just interesting.
Like, oh, it is. And it's one of my favorite parts of the week.
I mean, go ahead and explain that to them. That way, those that don't know.
Well, that wasn't really a beginning part. Was the SBC this week or this week in SBC history. That wasn't a part of the original podcast. Really? If you go listen to the first two or three episodes, I think we started that four or five episodes in maybe. And I just had an episode. I had an idea. I was like, what if we did like a history podcast? And she was like, what if we just incorporated it into ours? Because we just have a segment every week. Because we already had the resources of the week. And we were just talking about news and we had some interviews and then we had the resources. But we realized quickly that, you know, we weren't able to have an interview every week. And there are a lot of people that, you know, we didn't really have to have an interview every week. I mean, it just was, let's just tell the story about what's going on. And she had this idea, and she's a big history buff anyway. So she had this idea to do that. And I'm like, all right, let's roll with it. So she just goes and searches these archives of Baptist Press or the IMB or whatever it may be, and brings out that history nugget of the week. And it may be in 1995. It may be in 1942. You just never know what it's going to be and who it's going to be. And we've just been blown away at some of the things that we've found and that we've, you know, just discovered and rediscovered for the second time. You know, it was news back then and now it's becoming something. And to be able to see how these things weave into what's going on in the SBC now and to think, oh, well, that happened, something like that happened back in 1974. And it's also a good reminder that every time we think we have an original idea, a lot of times somebody two or three generations back had this idea at a different time in a different place. And it's a good reminder that history is, it's actually something to be learned from. And mm-hmm. we can look back and see how decisions that were made 40 and 50 years ago in the SBC affect us now. And think about that as we make decisions for the future.
I was really amazed to hear that the archives go that far back. Like there's still record of all of those.
Oh yeah.
That's just amazing to me.
I mean, I'm sitting here at my office at Lifeway and I'm looking across the room and I've got the annual meeting minutes from 1871 sitting over there on the shelf. So, I mean, really? I can get up and just go over there and flip through them. I don't because I don't want to tear the pages. They're so brittle. But I remember something happened a few years ago, and I don't remember what exactly it was, but it involved one of the seminaries and when they were chartered and something like that. And I was able to just walk over to the wall there and pick up the annual from that year and find out what was going on. So it's kind of a neat thing to have all this history in the SBC. We've got a rich history. I think a lot of people forget that.
And then also, I think it was about five or six episodes back, which – people don't know when I'm talking right now, so it may have been longer than that to go. But y'all talking about how the SBC decided to send out tapes to different pastors and stuff. And looking back at that history, as she talked about, it's just ironic. You know, y'all did a podcast on how they transferred information 40 years ago.
Yeah. So and the technology changes. It's fun to watch those because around the SBC, I think, 2 years ago, or maybe it was a year ago, I'm not sure when it was. It might have been 2016, before the 2016 convention. I think we were talking about this on the podcast. Amy came across the first time they used big screens at the convention. So you could actually project the image and you could see it. Because, I mean, they would have 10, 15, 20,000 people and they'd all sit in the big Coliseum type room and there'd be a podium down there and that you just had to watch the little guy down there at the bottom. If you were in the top row of the balcony or whatever, you had a terrible seat. You couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it was sometime in the late 70s, 76, 78, 79, somewhere in there, they introduced the use of screens, projection screens for the messengers for the first time. And that was kind of neat.
That is. And me being 26, I can't even imagine a time without them having that possibility. So it's kind of cool.
You can't even imagine a time whenever you couldn't just watch it online.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's one of the amazing things about the technological advances we've seen, mm-hmm. not only in culture, but how they've impacted the SBC annual meeting and the SBC in general.
Well, I mean, that's how I participated last year, was being able to watch it online. But anyway, all right, let's get to the third podcast, the newest one of them all.
Yeah.
Revitalize and Replant.
Yes, that's a co-effort with NAM. Mark Clifton is joining us for most of those episodes, and we're talking about guess what? Revitalization and replanting of churches. It's the name. we're really, really sharp like that, you know. But it's something that we've seen a big boom in church planting. And we when you talk to pastors, especially pastors at established churches, their question is, what about us? What about churches like me? Churches like where I am? I'm not quite sure what church or what the type of church you're at in Vernon, Alabama. But, you know, I'm guessing it's probably a revitalization type work or something like that. You know, there's a lot of churches out there like that. And so we were like, why can't we just have a specific podcast to designated toward those issues? And so we approached us with this, and we're like, this is a great idea. Let's do it. So Mark Clifton came on board, and he's just the expert in replanting. So we kind of have a dual approach there with the revitalization on some episodes, replanting and things like that. And the response has been phenomenal, because there are a lot of churches out there in need of revitalization. There's a lot of churches, unfortunately, in need of replanting. Those are close to death, and replanting or, you know, closing may be the only two options they have. So if we can make churches healthier or help the health in local churches through these podcasts, that's an exciting thing to be a part of.
I actually had Daniel M on the podcast a few weeks back. And like I was telling him, I'm at a church where I came in after the guy planted the church. It was only 5 years old, but it was still a replant in some ways because it wasn't done perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so when I listened to his podcast, I was listening to things that I could put into place almost like a replant or revitalization. And so that's what I was excited to hear about this podcast y'all started and just kind of the information that y'all are providing. And I'm glad NAM's pushing it hard. I think it's something that's necessary. I think as y'all discussed in the first episode for the podcast. So if you're listening, go and listen to that episode and they can explain it more to you. Well, I want to transition out of the podcast and kind of get into the topic that we normally talk about on here, and is ministry. And I know me and you talked before, and y'all recently have made a change in churches. So I know you're not able to serve yet. But in the past,
I still serve, but I don't have like a role that I've been doing for a while at the current church.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Sorry. How are you able to serve now? And then maybe how have you and your family served in the past?
Well, now, I mean, like you said, we just started at a new church about 6 months ago. My wife has gotten plugged in a lot more than I have recently, just because of my travel schedule. I've been out of town a lot over the past 6 months with Dr. Rayner. So, it's just been a little bit different, but I've also been able to sit down because of the assimilation process of the church and the background that I have. I sat down with the staff here and there of the first 3 or 4 months and talked and just kind of gave pointers on how I felt the assimilation process was going. It was kind of like secret shopping the church that you're going to be attending, if that makes any sense, and point out little things here and there that they may have missed. And they asked me to, this wasn't like I was going to them complaining. They were like, they came to me and said, hey, you've been through the assimilation process. You've been through the membership process. You've come as guests, you first time experiences. What did you notice? Where can we improve? And which I think a lot of churches don't ask that question enough. They could do things better if they would just ask the questions on how we can improve. If you don't ask the question, how we're going to improve, all you're going to get is all you're going to have then to go is complaints instead of somebody coming along and asking you, you know, or coming along with you with the same goal of the church improving. You get just complaints of people that don't come anymore. So they came to me and we sat down and we talked about that. So I was able to help them tighten up some things in the assimilation process, tighten up some things in the membership process. And I'm really excited about a few of the little changes. I mean, they were minor things too. Just as, you know, as minor as we have a video that runs pre the service about filling out the card for guests, or texting a number, you know, with this guest information or whatever, and you can fill it out on your phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. The problem was the video didn't have the information for you to text. Like, so if you heard it and you realized it, by the time you realized what you needed to do, it was moved on and it didn't have the little stuff across the bottom to tell you what to do. So it's like that little change right there. And they made the change. And in the next couple of months, they saw like the number of people that used that doubled. Because that one little change, and it's just something that they hadn't even thought of. It was just kind of blind to them. Mm-hmm. But little things like that. So I've been able to help them with that. So that's been really encouraging to be a part of a church that wants to get better and wants to do what they're doing better. My wife's been really involved in the children's ministry. That's kind of her thing. She's been a children's minister for 10 to 15 years while we've been married over the last 14 years. So that's all that she's really ever done vocationally. And so she's helped out a lot in the children's ministry there. But it's been good being a part of that new church, being part of a fresh church, a different type of church than pretty much any one that we've been to before, and one that's probably the most reflective of the local community as far as diversity goes that I've ever been a part of. And that right there is what really got us excited. That's what really gets us excited about the church that we're a part of right now, is how diverse it is and how much it reflects and cares for the community it's in.
That's awesome, man. If you're ever in Vernon, Alabama, for whatever reason,
I'm in West Alabama.
Which will never happen.
I drive nearby. I come through Hamilton on the way to my father-in-law's, or maybe Red Bay in Russellville. I'm not sure, okay. but not really
an hour away.
That's yeah, I go kind of northy. I don't really have a reason to go down toward Columbus from Nashville. So
no,
that's about really the only reason I would kind of cut through Vernon.
Well, I figured I got to say, Roll Tide. I doubt Tom Rainer's listening, but big Alabama fan, and so am I. So I got to say, Roll Tide. We're only about an hour from Tuscaloosa.
So
what's that for?
That's Which tickets game? To the Arkansas game this weekend. So
really,
yeah, I'm sending them to a friend.
Oh,
but maybe next going? Time. I can't go this weekend. I've got a date night with the wife.
That's homecoming, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I'm probably going to be down for the LSU game in November, though. I'm a big LSU fan, so I'm going to go down there and watch my Tigers get smashed. But
I hope that
my son will like it. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
He's an Alabama fan. He grew up in Birmingham. We moved here from Birmingham. So he grew up in Birmingham. He's a big Alabama fan. So,
well,
I don't know. I've raised him right, except for that one thing.
I don't know. I think he got it right. Thankfully, the sins of the fathers don't always go on.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow.
Anyhow, all right. Well, we're getting towards the end of the time I was wanting to take up from you today. If you would, do you have any plugs that you want to recommend? It could be a book or a podcast, music. It could be just about anything.
I'm going to do two. I'm sorry. But what I was going to be kind of what we already talked about, the Revitalize and Replant, that is such a good podcast. I'm so excited about the future of that podcast. So if it's not just for people, I think, that are in revitalization and replant situations. I think you can get something out of it in any level. If you're in ministry, if your vocation is ministry, that's a podcast that you can get stuff, practical tools that can help your church grow and grow healthy. But the one I really want to talk about, no silver bullets, Daniel M. You talked about him. One of the best tools I've seen us publish for churches, because churches and church leaders have this misconception that they can just, if we have this one thing, if we just get this one thing, it's going to change everything. That's not always the case. Usually it's a lot of little bitty things over a long period of time. It's not one thing, very short. And Daniel's book, he's got so much information in there, and he's such a sharp guy, and I'm glad you had him on the podcast, but, He's so good, and this book is one of the ones that I've been really excited about us publishing here at Lifeway over the last year. I saw it hit my desk about a month ago, and I just devoured it, and it's so good. We had him on the Rainer on Leadership podcast to talk about it, and it's just such a practical help for churches and a good reminder that it's rarely ever one thing. There's no such thing as silver bullets for the most part. In church life, it's a lot of little things over a long period of time, and they add up, and that's how your churches grow, and that's how they grow healthily.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like you said earlier, a lot of times churches don't ask the questions.
Yeah.
So they don't ever find out about the little things. I actually bought the book after I interviewed him, and I told him I was going to buy it, I'm in mid-semester taking Hebrew, so going to wait till December, and then I'm going to read it.
I'll tell you what, since I've got some copies here at the office, I'll give away one. You just send me one of your listeners, whoever the first person or whatever wants to send you their information, you just send it on, and I'll send out a free book to them.
Okay, awesome. I appreciate that.
And I may throw in a CSB Bible in there too.
Okay. I've been enjoying the CSB.
Well, good.
I got it a few months back and really enjoying it. I'll just, you may not have read it yet, but I'm curious if you know much about it. Sing by
The Gettys.
By the Gettys. Is it good?
I haven't read it yet. I've got a copy. I just got a copy a few weeks ago. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and read it. I'm a good friend of Keith's, and so I know their heart behind it. Mm-hmm. They are very passionate about people recovering, the hymnody and recovering congregational singing in the church, which is something that I think our churches are lacking. We've turned it into a show a little bit, and in certain instances, and in some instances, not just a little bit. Keith's heart behind it is pure, and their message is so scriptural and really based in what we should be doing as worshipers. So I haven't read it yet, but I can only imagine that the content lives up to Keith's heart and Kristen's heart as well. We've had him a few times on Renner on Leadership, and he's a regular. He was in the office yesterday, actually. He was up here recording a podcast with Eric Geiger, I think, and it just awesome. Awesome guy.
Yeah. Y'all go and listen to those podcast episodes. That's actually how I found out about Getty.
Oh, really?
And then I realized, you know,
then you started putting two and two together and like, oh, man, this guy, wow.
Yeah, for sure. I want to recommend a book. It's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. It's one I had to read in seminary. Great book, guys. It's pretty much a hermeneutics book, but small. I'd encourage you to read it. But Jonathan, I've enjoyed the podcast, enjoyed talking with you. Is there anything you want to add before we get off here?
Oh, man, I appreciate what you're doing. There's a thousand guys just like you that are laboring in small rural towns around Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, across the U.S. So I just want you to be encouraged. We are grateful for you and everything that you do in your church and your towns. So thanks again for having me on, and thank you for doing what you do every day as a minister.
Awesome, man. Tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Find me on Twitter. That's where I stay most of the time, @Jonathan_Howe. And it's Howe is the last name there. But find me on Twitter, Jonathan_Howe. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. I kind of live on Twitter because of the social media stuff I do. So I'm on Facebook here and there, up in the Baptist Review as well. I have fun with those guys. So that's a fun community on Facebook. I've really enjoyed that. So I didn't know it existed until a few months ago, and I have had so much fun in there. Those guys are just they enjoy having fun, and they enjoy Jesus and serving Him. And
over there were Matt Hensley and Jared Parks.
Yep. Actually, so they've been really good.
I had Jared on here about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, we had Jared we had him at the SBC annual meeting. He came and sat in on a panel that we had. I invited him onto that, tried to get him involved in there. So that was really cool of him to be there that day for us and hang out with us.
Yeah, it was a commitment going to Arizona for sure. So.
Yeah, especially as a layperson. I was like, man, you deserve something. Let's put you on a stage.
That's right. Well, man, I've enjoyed the podcast, and you listeners out there, I hope you enjoyed it. I want to encourage you, as we've talked about in this podcast, go and listen to Rainer on Leadership, SBC This Week, and Revitalize and Replant. If you're just going to pick one of them, I would encourage you just to go listen to Revitalize and Replant. Especially if you're a pastor. If you're a pastor out there, go and listen to the information they're providing for that, and maybe you'll realize your church needs to implement some things that they're going to talk about it. Well, this has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, and we hope you've enjoyed it.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you, and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.